Jesus says, abide in me, I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Very simple message, yeah? Very simple and a true message. It's a true way for a spiritual life. If you want to bring fruit, you have to abide in Christ. Without him, we can't do anything. That's the reality. Jesus actually used it as a branch and vine. A branch cannot produce fruit by itself. If it becomes separate from the vine, it withers and it becomes fruitless. In the same way, our spiritual life cannot bear true fruit if we are disconnected from Christ. My friends, abiding in Christ means living continually fellowship with him. Abiding in Jesus Christ means trusting him daily. Abiding in Jesus Christ means obey his word. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandment, as I keep my Father's commandment. That's the meaning of the abiding in him. Abiding in Christ means receiving spiritual strength from him, not from the world. The fruit Jesus speaks about the transforming character, love, holiness, and the life influence for God. Without him, it's not happen. It's not possible to bring the fruits. The secret of a fruitful life is simple. Remain in Christ and let Christ live and work through you. But the first question, we want to look at two questions today. Two simple questions. One question is, why have people today lost their relationship with God? Abiding may have a relationship with you. That's the meaning of the abiding. Why people today, they lost their relationship with God? They know God exists. When I say the people, I'm not talking about the outsider. Maybe the outsider as well. Actually, my point is back to the church. Jesus says, you are clean. If we read the passage, Jesus says, you are clean. You are saved. Amen? Said to a disciple, you are saved. But saved only is not enough for Christian life. The one condition needed, that's abiding in me. Believe in me and come to my grace and bow the knee to my cross and receive my grace and be saved. Amen? That's the first step. And the second step, abiding in me. I know many Christians today, they believe Jesus Christ, but they're not coming to the church. I know many Christians today, they believe the Lord and they have the Bible, but they never read it. I know many Christians today, they believe Jesus Christ and they're hanging the cross necklace in here, but they doesn't have any fellowship or relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Why people have lost on relationship with the God? That's the first question. I think the answer is very simple, yeah? What do you think? What's the first answer? Sin. Sin. S-I-N. Make the separation from God. That's the cause of sin. Do you think when we say we're not doing sin? Yes, we're doing sin. God's always doing sin. God says, no one righteous. God says all have sinned and come short the glory of God. God knows we are sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed demonstrate his love to us in that while well a sinner Christ died for us. That's why the Bible says in 1 John verse 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But, and the truth is not us, but if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Do you know, my brothers and my sister, I was thinking to this question. It was a very big question for myself. We are saved by the blood of Christ and no sin and no guilt in us. Why God says repentance again? This is a desire of God for us. Repentance again. If we saved one time, what's necessary for the repentance again? Any idea? And do you know what's the answer? Because God knows we are very easily getting far away from Him. God knows we have old nature in ourselves. That my old nature always are fighting with the new nature. That my old nature try to make me lazy. That my old nature try to make me far away from the church, far away from the Word of God, far away from be fellowship with God. That's why God says, repentance and pray and back to me. I love you. You are my son. You never lost your position. You be my son and you always be my son. But I love you. I care about you. I want you back again to me. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, abide in me. Abide in me. Keep my commandments. You are clean, but abide in me. Amen. That's the first reason the people actually lost on relationship with God. Easily, with the sin. And the second reason, the people have set their hearts on the world's incense of God. Because we live in the world. Amen. We live in the world. We go into the shopping, and we see many beautiful things in the shopping. Oh, the new mobile phone coming, the new television coming. Oh, 100 inch, 200 inches. Many beautiful things we see in the shopping. And they are stored in our hearts. And when they are stored in my heart, and I try to receive it, I'm not going to the church Sunday. I want to work to double money, to double wages. I'm not going to the Bible study anymore. Why? Because I need to work. I need to buy this car. I got this car, but this car is not good. I need to upgrade it. God doesn't have problem with your working, my brothers and my sisters. But the problem is where your heart going. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's why 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of what? The Father is not in him. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's a reality for us. We live in the world, and then we have to have communication with the world, but we love God first. The question for us, what is your priority today? Love God or love the world? Amen? The one preacher says, love God first and then serve the family. Not serve church and then love your family. That doesn't work. Love God, serve your family. For example, you working in your, serve your manager. Because when the love of God be in your heart, you know how to work it. You know how introduce the love of Christ to the other people. To the student, for example. To your children, for example. To your brother and sister, for example. Amen? And the third reason, human pride. Modern people often thinking they do not need God. Science, technology, and then progress and have led some to believe they can live without God. I remember I have Bible study last Friday, and the Afghani guy, his name is Paul. Praise the Lord. Now he joined us around the 1 year, and he's grown very well. He's very good Christians, very well. And he asked me a very interesting question. He said, why when the people go into the university and they try to be against the Bible? And the people go to university, the person is not be against the God or against the Bible. But why when they go into university and when his knowledge getting increased and he's changed to be like an atheist? Not atheist, anti-theist, be against God, be against the Bible. And I said, well, brother, very simple. Because, do you know, in the Bible mentioned two knowledge. Worldly knowledge and the God knowledge. Worldly knowledge and the God knowledge. Bible gives you knowledge, but Bible gives you wisdom as well. But university or college or any study you're doing, they never give you wisdom. They give you knowledge. Your knowledge getting increased. The worldly knowledge getting increased. But your wisdom is getting low. Because the wisdom came from above. Wisdom came from God. Only came from the Bible. This is the word of wisdom. Amen? That's the reason. Amen? When you read the Bible, you will find the knowledge as well. When you read the Bible, you will understand, for example, about the creation or about anything. But the main purpose of God give us the Bible to give us the wisdom. That's why when the people try to live the wisdom and try to hold in the knowledge from the like a university or something and change it to be atheist, to be against the God, to be against the Bible. I remember one day I have a debate with one Iranian philosopher, the philosopher guy, he lives in London. He's very famous between the Iranian community. And he tried to say, the Bible is like a Quran. The Bible says killing the people. The Bible says this. The Bible says that. And I asked him, okay, my friend, I got a question. He said, yes, please. And I said, I'm sure you study in maybe in Anglican church or in Anglican college or something like that. He said, yes, I'm being at Anglican college. And I asked him, okay, when you be in the college, where, which lecturer, which lesson teach you, you have to kill someone? You have to, for example, attack another person. And he said, no one. And I said, okay, why you be aggressive with the Bible? When you be in the college, when you be in the, for example, in the Bible college, you receive bad things or good things? He said, I'm received the good things. Honestly, I received a very good blessing from the Word of God. I'm saying, okay, why you be against the Bible? Do you know why? Because the world lost his heart. The proud lost his heart. He got a good position right now. He called himself, I'm a philosopher, man. I'm a lecturer or something like that. He's proud, actually, making far away from God. That's why God says we have to be humble. Humble to him. If you want to know him, my brothers and my sisters, first step is be humble to him. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, I come in for the broken heart. I come in for someone's heart is broken. And hallelujah. And the fourth reason, why the people doesn't have a relationship with God, for the deception of Satan. I got a question to you, R. Can you tell me, if you want to tell me, the one of the great mission of Satan, what do you think? What is the great mission of Satan in this world? Any idea?
I think the great mission of Satan is to try and make one of the prophecies of the Bible not come true so that he can call God a liar.
Okay.
Or I'd probably say in general, I think his greatest mission would probably be to make God sin.
Make God, okay.
If Satan succeeded in making Jesus sin in the desert, that would have been a cataclysmic disaster and like winning the lottery 100 times over for Satan.
That's right. Any idea? Yeah?
Deceive people something is good when it's not.
That's right. Deceive people something is good when it's not. Yeah. Any idea? Yeah?
To keep people away from God.
That's it. Amen. That's the main reason. No one come to Christ. No one come to the grace of God. No one coming to the cross of Jesus Christ. Satan knows what is on destiny. Satan knows where is his end. But when you be a Muslim, Satan, they doesn't have a problem with you. Buddhism doesn't have a problem with you. Hinduism doesn't have a problem with you. But when you be a Christian, you will find a big problem. Big problem. Many targets come to you. Many questions come to you. Many fingers come to you. I remember when I saved, I was so glad. And I called to my mom, Mom, I'm a Christian. And mom says, what? Are you Christian? Are you kafir? Are you unclean? You're not my son anymore. I was getting shocked. What are you talking about? If I said, Mom, I got 10 girlfriends, And mom said, oh, where's that my son? Anyway, you know, the Satan doesn't have problem with your with whatever you're doing. The Satan has problem when you come to Christ. When you believe him, when you receive him. That's a reality, my brother. The Bible teaches that Satan blind the mind of the people so that they cannot see the truth of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, whose mind the God of this age blinded, who do not believe, let the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's why we need to preach the gospel to the people. That's why when people come to Jesus, his eye or her eyes is getting open and they see the world differently. Hallelujah for his Bible. Amen. 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 See, the light of the gospel, the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. Hallelujah. But the good news is that God himself took the invitation to bring reconciliation and prepare the way for humanity to return to relationship with him through his death and resurrection. Jesus Christ removed the sin that had created a separation between us and God. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See, it's very clear. The Bible says, when we were enemies, enemy with God. Now whoever believes in Christ is forgiven and can once again draw near to the presence of the Heavenly Father. Very easily. The way, the door is open. The way is available, my brothers and my sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The door is open. You can come to him. Bible says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been drew near by the blood of Christ. Amen? You can go to him by the blood of Christ. Just you have to be humble to him. Don't allow Satan to monopoly with your mind. Don't allow the glory of the world take your eyes and get far away from the glory of Christ. My brothers and my sisters, look at unto Jesus. Amen? Look at unto Jesus. So, the second question, and then we come to the second question, what the blessing and the result came from abiding in the Lord? Why Jesus says, abide in me? Why he encouraged the disciples? Jesus says, you are clean, but you have to abide in me. What's the result of that? Having a living relationship with the Lord is not merely an abstract belief. It has a real and profound effect on our lives. Those who walk with God experience many blessings. Here are some of the most important results of having a personal relationship with God. The first one is the assurance of God's love and presence in the first blessing of the relationship with him. That's the main result for your abiding with him. The Lord says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's been with us forever. He's been with us forever. Why you don't want to be with him? Be with him. The Apostle Paul also declared with the confidence that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Actually, in Romans 8:38-39, I love these verses. Says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. When you abide in Christ, you have assurance, if I die today, my eyes will be open in his bosom. My eyes will be open next to him. Maybe next to the Apostle Peter or next to Apostle John. I don't know. And the second reason and the second blessing Inner peace is another fruit of the relationship with God. Experience peace with even in times of crisis. We need a peace, amen? We need a peace. For example, like Brother Farwood, he told me this morning, I can't sleep last night. I said, why, Farwood? He said, because of watching news about the Iran situation. This is true and for understandable for me as well. And because his mother being in Iran, and I got a brother sister in Iran, a lot of worry, a lot of stress. But where I can find peace in this time, in these horrible times, where I can find peace? In Jesus. In Jesus. That's the result of abiding in Christ. When you be in Jesus, when you have relationship with Jesus, when you abiding in Jesus, doesn't matter what's happening. You have peace in God. You have peace in Christ. That's so blessing. That's so blessing. Jesus says already, he says in John 14 verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as a world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let be afraid. This is for you, Farwell. Jesus lived the peace for you, abiding in him. When we know that God is sovereign over all lives and that every circumstance is under his care, our fears and anxieties begin to affect. David declared in Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Philippians 4, verse 7, all of these verses. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which supports all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. How you can have the peace of God unless you have a relationship with Christ? How you can have the peace of God unless you're not abiding in Christ? This divine peace comforts the heart and gives us the strength to stand firm in the storm of life. Amen? And coming to the third one is, enduring joy and hope are another fruit of the relationship with God. A relationship with God is the source of true joy and hope in our heart. In the presence of God, there is the fullness of joy, and he fills our heart with the spiritual gladness. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasure forevermore. This is the kind of joy that caused Paul and Silas to praise God with the song. In Acts chapter 16, you will see the Paul and Silas, they are being in the prison because for the preaching of the gospel. They are being in the prison, in the jail of the Roman Empire. Maybe the hand being full of chain, I don't know, maybe like that. I don't know, maybe they're hanging or somewhere. But in that situation, in the verse 26, they are singing. Verse 25 says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They are singing and praising God, and other prisoners listening to them. What power they are. What peace they have in this horrible situation. The many people say, oh, let me free. The many people doing like that. Yeah, but they are singing. My goodness. This is not a temporary happiness that depends on circumstance, but a deep joy that flows from the confidence in God's love. Our hope for the fruit is also strange, because we know that God has a good plan for our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Ultimately, he has processed us eternal life in his presence. Such a hope gives us a strength to remain hopeful even in the most difficult time. And the fourth blessing, finding purpose in life, is another result of the relationship with God. Do you know, my brothers and my sister, this is the main reason that make a difference between the Christianity and other religion. When you come to the Christ, your life find meaning. Your life find purpose. But doesn't matter what kind of religion do you have. Because in the religion, you are be like a slave. You doesn't have any future. You doesn't have any meaning. You doesn't have any hope. Like a slave. Pray 5 times a day. Yeah? Maybe, inshallah, one day, going to the heaven. Or, like in Hinduism says, have this festival. Maybe pray to this idol. Maybe pray to that idol. But when you come to Christ, your life finds meaning. I remember when I come to Christ, this is my testimony. When I come to Christ, Lord opened door by door for me. My life find the purpose. I understand why I need to live. Because many people in the world need the hearing from the gospel of Christ. Many people in the world live in darkness. Many people in the world, they are blind. They can't see the goodness of God. They can't see God. That's your purpose, my brothers and my sisters, to preach the gospel to them. Bring them to Christ. Bring them to the goodness of God. That's why your life find a purpose, serving the Lord. Magnify Jesus Christ in your life. A life with God is a purposeful life. When we are connected with Him, we discover that we were created for a greater purpose and our lives gain meaning. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, we read these verses. And God said to Jeremiah, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope." God has also promised to guide us wisely. But do you know what you need to do? Just ask God. God, what can I do for you? I'm ready. I hear in your voice there. What can I do for you? God will show you. He will show you. He opened door for you. Just be humble to Him and receive Him. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." That's what God says. "I will guide you with my eye." Therefore, in the life of our relationship with God, we no longer live in confusion or without directions. In sense, we walk each day with the divine guidance and heavenly purpose. This is the last one I want to share. The last blessing. Last blessing for the abiding in Christ is spiritual growth and transformation of character. This is the last blessing. Very great blessing for your abiding in Christ. As much you have a more relationship with Jesus, and Jesus will shape you, shape your character. Actually, I use this analogy. I'm saying, when someone comes to Christ, it looks like one fat guy wants to go to the gym. Yeah, just imagine a 200 kilo fat guy, he has started to the gym. Yeah, he can't do it like a pressure, 100. No, he can't do that. He needs to do it slowly, and then little bit by little bit, they lose the weight, they lose the fat. And exactly same as our situation with God. When we come to Christ, we are like that fat man. As much we have relationship with the Father, as much we have relationship with God, we lose the weight. We get shape, our behavior, our act, our eyes, our words, our minds, and everything in getting changed by the blood of Christ. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, "Abide in me. Abide in me. Without me, you can't do anything. Without me, you will dry. Without me, maybe you will burn. Abide in Christ." Amen. abide in me. This is our maybe commandment, but not like a Ten Commandment. It's a friendly commandment. It's a commandment as a father to a child. Abide in me. Amen? Let's close and pray. Our Father God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and thank you once again through your word. You remind us we have to abide in you, Lord. You are source. You are purpose of everything in this world. Without you, nothing but exists, Lord. Without you, no more church, no more meetings, no more Bible, no more nothing, no prophet, nothing. But Lord, you are the purpose of everything, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We keep the witches you said, Lord. Help us, Lord, abiding in you. Daily, daily, have a fellowship with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. And I pray in your holy name, Lord. Amen.